Hey everybody, I'm Mike Golick and welcome to my first podcast. You believe it? Stranger things have happened, no doubt about that. Right now, this podcast, we're going to keep it under the umbrella, the Sorry in Advance, the Golick Family Podcast umbrella. If that changes, I'll certainly let you know. And I know normally in podcasts, a lot of people have guests, and maybe at some point I will have a guest, but right now, you know, As many of you may have known, I used to have a show for 22 years on ESPN Radio, so I'm used to talking. So I haven't had it now for over a month, so I got plenty to say, so I don't think I need any guests, at least this time around. I'll try and somehow, some way manage it on my own. It's just good to kind of be able to get out all my thoughts again, whether you agree or disagree. It's just certainly fun to talk and in kind of free form like this, so I'm really looking forward to it. I think one of the best places to start is what we know this sports year has certainly been interrupted by some major things like COVID, the social injustice, and now, you know, obviously I'm doing college ball. It's being affected by hurricanes as well. It's been let's just be honest, it's been a crappy year. I haven't been out on New Year's Eve in years. I usually fall asleep before the ball drops, but my wife and I said this year, when that ball drops this year, we're going to be awake, probably hammered as well, to just get rid of this year and start in 2021. I hope it's a hell of a lot better than what the heck's going on right now. But from the sports aspect, you know, we had a long runway at the end of Golic and Wingo. You know, we were there right when the COVID break started, when Rudy Gobert tested positive on the NBA and basically things started to shut down. Going through all of that to where we are now with so many sports going on. And I have to say that given the bubbles that have worked, start with them, the NBA, the WNBA, and the NHL has worked incredibly well. So kudos to those leagues and what they were able to do. Really, MLS did it as well. The women's soccer out in Utah, they did it. Very, very impressive how that was done. And I'll get to the basketball, how that's finishing up right now. And we saw baseball, they're outside the bubble, much like the NFL just started outside the bubble. And that seemed, we know baseball had a scare with the Marlins and with the Cardinals early on, but that has seemed to level off. And it seems to all be working pretty well outside of the bubble. We just, as we know, baseball is going to go in the bubble come the playoffs between California and Texas, and if California can't work because of the smoke and the fires there, which have just been awful, they can move that to Arizona. So, and even the NFL talking about the playoffs possibly doing a bubble in that scenario as well. We'll see. But kudos right now to how well that has been going on with the league starting up. Though we'll get to the college football and where that is right now. The NBA, though, and what's been happening there, I mean, we've almost, when we talk about the NBA, I know we go to the bubble, we haven't really talked about any positive tests. They've been doing so well there. It's really just been about basketball, and what a couple of shockers that we've had. We have plenty of analysts, I know, that have been breaking things down, but just, you know, kind of on the top issues, you know, with Milwaukee being knocked out and the Clippers now being knocked out the way they have. Big questions for those teams. I've talked about this before with Giannis in Milwaukee. He has a chance to sign that max extension for $252 million this summer. You know, is he going to do that? I know we met with the owner, had lunch with the owner, like that three-hour lunch, where basically the owner said to him, hey, we will go into the luxury tax. We will pay it, you know, so we can build a championship team here, trying to do anything to try and keep Giannis. So that's going to be an interesting situation. I know he'd love to stay in Milwaukee, but these guys at some point want championships. And are they going to feel that they need to go somewhere else to win those championships? You wonder what's in Giannis's mind as he has this summer, if he really is thinking about leaving, you know, kind of like Anthony Davis did in New Orleans, telling them, hey, I'm not going to be around. So then you try and trade him to get value for him, or is Giannis going to try and ride this out and see if he's going to want to stay there? Big questions in Milwaukee because they lose him. Milwaukee, the last couple of years, we've seen what they have been able to do, but they can't get to that next level. So would they go back, fall way, way back? If all of a sudden Giannis chooses to leave Milwaukee, then they would certainly slip back into, dare I say, anonymity a little bit there. And the Clippers with being knocked out, I mean, we know the Clippers' history in trying to get to a conference championship And now with Kawhi Leonard, last year's, finals MVP, and what he did for Toronto and how he worked his way there to get Paul George, and then for them to get knocked out the way they did in the playoffs by Denver. It's really incredible what Denver has done. But again, for the Clippers, where do they go now? What do they do? Does that team come back yet again whole, or is that going to change? We see teams changing every year as these stars try and play together. So certainly some questions need to be answered out in L.A. Good friend of mine, Marcellus Wiley, used to work with us here at ESPN. I know he has to be devastated as he talks about the Clips winning that chip finally. Not going to happen this year. And then what has gone on good in the NBA with the play on the court has been incredible. I just talked about what Denver was able to do, and Jamal Murray. Now, didn't have the greatest series here, but certainly did against Utah. And now he's saying, hey, you better start putting some respect on our name. I get it. Denver and Utah never got the talk that the Lakers would or the Clippers would. Everybody's expecting those two teams to meet up in the Western Conference Finals to see who would go to the NBA Finals. And there's Denver and Jamal Murray and what he did. But outside of basketball, because again, we have our analysts that break down the basketball, what was done in the break by Nikola Jokic to me was incredible. This guy is a fantastic player. So I always talk about athletes and they're used to their continuity. They're used to their schedule, whether it's in season or off season. Off season, how much time you take off, when you start to work out, when you're working out with the team and such. It's basically all really laid out for you, and you get a comfort level on what you do. So with the COVID break, that without question threw everything off, everything out of kilter. So all of a sudden, players who were used to practicing and or working out and or playing with one another in the off season or had their routines, whether it was playing, whether it was lifting, whether it was conditioning, whatever it was, that was completely thrown off. So now, back in the day, hell, that used to be how we did everything. We didn't have a lot of the off-season programs, although they started much later. So we always had to work out on our own, go to the field, go to the gym, do everything on our own, guided by usually a booklet from the strength coach of the team that we were playing for. But still, you had to go do it on your own. We've seen in today's world, players all getting together and working out, no matter what sport it is, or having their place to work out, their place to train. Well, now that was all out the window. Obviously, you couldn't go to your facility. You couldn't go to gyms. You couldn't meet up with other players and just play. And now you had to find things to do on your own. And certainly, a lot of pro athletes are well enough off to have maybe a nice weight room in their house. And certainly some players, have a court at their house, but still you have to put in the work. It changes. And listen, you're a professional. This even is true outside of sports. You're a professional. You're expected, no matter the situation, to do your job in a professional manner. But we all know sometimes if we're out of kilter, out of sync, out of our routine, that sometimes we don't get the job done or we slack off a little bit. And this was a big test for the players. And what Nikola Jokic did, too. He always had that term dad bod on him and how he looked. And when he came back and reported to the bubble what he looked like, not only did he stay in shape, I won't say basketball shape because you can't really play a lot of basketball during that break, but what he did to his body, he transformed his body. There's one thing to not doing enough and being out of shape or not ready, doing what you think you should do just to stay even keel and be ready, and then going above and beyond. And Jokic certainly did that. I mean, to come in and basically transformed his body to help become a better player, that really, really impressed me. And you want to talk about paying off the dividends there all the way now, as we said, to the Western Conference Final, getting ready to take on the Lakers. I do like the Lakers in this series. Jokic is fantastic, but the Lakers can throw a couple of big men at him as well, obviously starting with Anthony Davis. And, you still have to contend with LeBron James. And certainly the supporting cast, but what Denver has done has been absolutely fantastic. And Jamal Murray is right. You have to start putting some respect on their name, no doubt about it. And then over in the East, look at what Miami has done to get to the Eastern Conference Finals against Boston. I find it very interesting. They got to the bubble, and basically their thought process, when we'd see early pictures from the bubble, you'd see guys fishing together, playing golf together, playing cornhole together. You're at a resort, you're at Disney World, But you're still in a somewhat confined area that you're still kind of hanging out, together. Well, Miami basically went in there with the thought process, you know what? We're not hanging out with anybody else. As the numbers started dwindling there, they weren't hanging out with anybody. There were even the stories of players, Miami players, or a player would get to an elevator and would see a player from another team on the elevator, wouldn't get on the elevator. They weren't even associating with other players on that team. Some could say, oh, that's being childlike or whatever. But you know what? Teams do interesting things at times to show their togetherness. And it's always like, hey, whatever works for you. We always talk about players finding whatever chip they can get on their shoulder. Even a guy like Tom Brady, who has six Super Bowl rings, is going to go down as the GOAT, still tries to find something that motivates him. That's what Miami is doing. Miami is trying to find something that keeps their team together and motivates them. And hey, if it's going to be that, if it's going to be we're not associating with anybody else there, then so be it, because it's worked pretty damn well, including game one of that Eastern Conference final, going overtime with the Boston Celtics. And then what Bam Adebayo did to the Jayson Tatum slam at the end, I mean, was incredible. Already game one goes to overtime. And here you have Jayson Tatum driving the lane in the last second of overtime, and a two would have tied the game up. And he goes for the slam, and I mean, he's got that thing ready to slam and overcomes Adebayo, and with a left hand goes up and absolutely rejects the slam and gets the ball, then gets fouled. It was spectacular to watch. If you want a great breakdown of it, find Timmy Legler. Timmy Legler was on with SVP talking about it that night, and he broke that play down on what he thought was going to happen, what could have happened, and what finally happened on that play. It was a great breakdown, but what a great block by Bam. Going to go down as one of the great blocks in playoffs in the NBA. So that's what's going on in the bubble and in the NBA. But I talked about outside the bubble as well, and we're getting a whole lot of news in college football. I'm going to get to the NFL and go over week one, what I saw in games, and look ahead to week two. But college football, now that I'm not doing radio and TV anymore, what I did ask ESPN for me to do is let me do college games. And so that's what I'm doing now. And I had a lot of fun. And the first game I did this year was Louisiana visiting Iowa State, who was number 23 preseason, and Louisiana going in and getting the upset win on the road was very, very impressive. So I've been really looking forward and am looking forward to continuing to do games every week, either on ESPN or on ABC. But college football, we'll get into the NFL starting, but we're talking about things outside the bubble and how they're going, how baseball had that rough start, but they seemed to level out. The NFL is just getting started now, with just week one in the books. And college football, we saw how that went. I mean, again, Golikowingo was happening while a lot of that was going on when colleges, normally players will report in the beginning of June for those voluntary workouts, but that was starting to get pushed in some conferences and some teams, and where it all ended up to having three of the Power Five actually decide to play, the Big 12, the ACC, and the SEC, which is going to start on September 26th, their schedule, and the Big Ten and the Pac-12 bow out of this a while ago. And the Pac-12 put out a statement right away of their reasoning. And we know how bad it had been in California as one of the hotspots. And now they even had the fires going on. And we'll get to that as they're thinking about coming back. But and how in colleges out in California, there are students that aren't even on campus yet. So the talk was, why are you going to put athletes on there? If you do that, you're just confirming the fact that we all know that college football is an absolute moneymaker, and that's what it's for. And that's what they're going to do. So as far as that's concerned, you saw the Big Ten, which also opted out, and then their parents and the players basically going nuts. And some of the coaches, like Jim Harbaugh, jumping in on that as well, doing a whole bunch of protests and trying to, A, get the reasons, and they finally, the Big Ten, put out reasons a little late on why they did it. But now, as we're finding with COVID, that each day and or each week, we're finding out new things about it. And one of the things that came along was this rapid test that's very cheap, and could be a daily test, which would be something obviously key for colleges, since you have so many. We're not just talking about football. If you're talking about fall sports, you're talking about other sports as well, other athletes to test, and certainly your student body to test. So, and the money that has to be spent, colleges are able to have that if they're able to do these cheaper daily testing, but certainly from the athletic side of it. So that brought the Big Ten back around again to another vote by the presidents. And again, everybody is blaming Kevin Warren, the new Big Ten commissioner, for this. Understand something, gang. The presidents of the university voted to not play at first and then voted again to play. Kevin Warren is basically the spokesperson for this, okay? He's not going in. He is not getting up to the podium and saying, I'm deciding we're not playing, and then came back and saying, I'm deciding we're playing. It doesn't work that way. He has his input. The doctors have their input. And the presidents of the university, they vote, they determine. Now, because it went so poorly, you know, the presidents may try and make Kevin Warren the scapegoat, but I mean, peel that thing back. The presidents are the ones voting on this. So it is on them that they weren't going to play and on them now that they are going to play. So the Big Ten is going to start play, I believe, October 24th. Now, the good and the bad is, certainly the good is they're going to play football. But it is the bad is it's going to be very tough for them. If they want to be part of the college football playoffs, they can't miss a week. They're talking about basically eight games, and then a conference championship game. But it'll be from the divisions, one versus one for the conference championship. But they're going to do an extra week, 2 versus 2, 3 versus 3, just so they get another week of playing in. That's to get 8 games and then that championship game in and other 9th game for others as well. They have no room to miss a week. That is no bye weeks every single week all the way till December 19th just to get that 9th game in and determine who a Big Ten champion will be to be involved in the college playoffs. And they put some big-time stipulations on if they have to shut this thing down. So it's while I'm very happy guys, players are going to be able to play again, we're going to have to see how this one goes if they even get it off the ground. They've given themselves a decent runway to October 24th. We'll see what happens there. And now the Pac-12 talking about revisiting there as well. The only problem is they're revisiting in where there are fires going on. Certainly you still had the COVID situation. So, I mean, they're really dealing with a stacked deck against them a little bit. I don't know what direction, as of me recording this, what direction that they're eventually going to go. But we know they are trying to come back. And a lot of this, again, based on medicine and doctors and the fact that we get these now rapid tests where you can find out in 10 to 15 minutes positive or negative, and also they're a lot cheaper as well, which certainly will help the colleges. So we'll see where it goes in college football there. I'm happy to be calling the games. I'm glad they're playing. As long as the safety of the player is considered as one of the top priorities, because it's very difficult for me to sit here and say it's the top priority when I know how much money is made. I'm not going to be naive and sit there and say, oh, their only thought process is the safety of the players. They're putting parameters in place, but I compared it to you want something to happen, so you're going to lean toward having it happen when differences or bumps in the road come up. You're going to find a way to still push forward. And I have a feeling they're going to do that with this. While I know they are concerned about player safety, let's all not be naive and understand the millions, hundreds of millions of dollars that are on the line for schools and for conferences that they can make by playing with that TV money. And if they can actually start getting fans in by the end of the year, there's a lot of money at stake. We've already seen other colleges that have had to knock off programs. And that kills me because I had a swimmer, got to know a lot of the soccer players at Notre Dame when my kids are there and lacrosse players. Those athletes were just as hard as the revenue sport football and basketball players. And unfortunately for them, as they try and play it in college, some colleges have to cut it to save money. And that's a shame for those athletes. I wrestled as well at Notre Dame. And 2 years after I left Notre Dame, they cut the Notre Dame wrestling team. It's very, very difficult when I see other athletes, again, who work just as hard as the revenue sports athletes. All of a sudden, they don't have a place to play anymore. So hopefully that continues to run smooth. without question, there's going to be some bumps in the road. Let's just hope they're more speed bumps and not mountains that they have to get over. And then there's the NFL. So let's go through the NFL again in week one and what we saw and what we think we're going to see going forward. And the first thing I'll say is don't think too much, though I'll probably talk out of both sides of my mouth here, about what you're going to see going forward. Normally, week one, listen, we all talk about preseason, how we hate preseason games. Even when there is a preseason, starters don't play a ton, and we always think we have to wait a couple of games before we truly see what a team is going to be like. Well, no preseason games this year, no OTAs, no off-season program, and a whole bunch of testing and procedures to go through before you even got players together on the field. So the expectation should be even less this year about what you see. That being said, I actually thought the first week of football was not bad football at all. Certainly, there's going to be rust. There's absolutely no doubt about that. But I didn't think it was all that bad. And it started on that Thursday night game with the defending Super Bowl champs, Kansas City Chiefs, beating the Texans. And, you know, the Kansas City basically picking up where they left off here. Mahomes, no interception, three more touchdowns. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, a guy who just got drafted in a great situation, the running back from LSU, and then with injuries in front of him before the season, all of a sudden he's the starter. 25 carries, 138 yards later, he is making a great impression. From Watkins to Kelsey to Hill, the same receivers doing their things for Kansas City. So they're really not missing a beat. They beat the Texans, and I, for the life of me, still cannot understand why the Bill O'Brien and the Texans traded away DeAndre Hopkins. For those trying to sit there and say, well, maybe now Deshaun Watson can develop better if he doesn't have to throw to one receiver, please. I mean, come on. You're going to tell me, okay, Deshaun's going to develop better because he doesn't have one of the best receivers in the game there. Look at the last game, the first game they played. He's still getting sacked too much. The O-line still needs to get better. And Will Fuller was by far and away the biggest receiver, just like DeAndre Hopkins would have been had he been there, though Hopkins and Fuller together have been fantastic. Fuller's just had a bit of an injury issue the last couple of years. So I can't believe they did that, but yet they did. And those are the results they're going to get. We'll see what goes on in that division. You saw Seattle beat Atlanta, put up 38 in that game. I love the fact in this one that they kind of actually ran the offense through Russell Wilson, something we haven't really seen. Russell Wilson has been so busy making things happen on his own that it really seemed like they have the offense now for Russell Wilson, and he did not disappoint. Again, no turnovers and four touchdowns, putting up 38 points. They're going to be a scoring offense if they do that with Russell Wilson. And they beat Atlanta, who, again, Matt Ryan led, I believe, week one in passing yards. And I believe Julio Jones led in receiving yards, yet they lose. So all the numbers in the world don't mean a thing if you can't get it together and actually get a win. So a nice win for the Seahawks in what will be the toughest division in all of football, that AFC West. Then you go to the Jets and the Bills. The Bills, you know, everybody's saying they have the chance now to win that division. You know, we'll see with Josh Allen, 33 of 46 in this one, having to throw. I know they won the game, and it is against the Jets, who are just a bad football team. I'm not sure you can win with where you want to go with this team with Josh Allen throwing the ball 46 times, because you know he's also going to run the ball as well. He was their leading rusher and probably will be for a lot of this year. The Jets, I mean, listen. Sam Darnold has no weapons to throw to. They're trying to fix the offensive line with Mekhi Becton they picked up in the draft. I'm not completely sold on Sam Darnold. I'm just not. And I know a lot of people are saying he has nothing around him. He's a good quarterback with nothing around him. We'll see. A lot of top quarterbacks first, when they're picked high, go to bad teams. That's what happens. And somehow, some way, you got to make it work. So at some point, Sam Darnold has to make things happen. I do like him, and I do think the arrow is still pointing up somewhat on him, but I'm not completely sold on him as he is going to be one of these next great young guns in the NFL. You see the Bears and the Lions. Boy, oh boy, tale of two teams, two situations with the Bears. Mitch Trubisky, unfortunately for Chicago Bears and Bears fans, early on looked like Mitch Trubisky, but then in the second half, did he catch fire? The big thing to me is he didn't turn the ball over, let him pass the ball down the field a little bit, and was able to throw some, get some late scores to get the win. I'm still not sold, unfortunately, on Mitch to do it consistently, game in and game out, to complement what is a great defense, although the defense didn't look all that great on their game against the Detroit Lions. Lions, a team that a lot of people thought are going to be a surprise this year. If Stafford stays healthy, he's going to have some monster numbers. They couldn't hold on to the lead in this game. So you just wonder, is this the same old thing for the Lions? And are we going to have a situation, if it doesn't go well this year, with Matt Patricia at head coach? And we look at the Packers against the Vikings. This, all we did was say, oh my God, the Green Bay Packers, they got nothing again for Aaron Rodgers. And then they draft a quarterback in the first round, just like Aaron was drafted in the first round when Brett Favre was the top quarterback. And Aaron, you know, Aaron, let me tell you, Aaron is a guy that will keep that chip on his shoulder. Aaron can be kind of a sarcastic, moody guy where things can affect him, and he'll let you know about it. And there's no doubt he feels he was questioned of how much longer he could lead this team. And I'll say again, not in free agency, not in trades, not in the draft, did they really help him passing-wise yet, or weapon-wise. Yet here he goes again, 364 yards, four touchdowns, no interceptions. He is one of the best quarterbacks of our time, no doubt about it, especially from the athletic ability side as well. Love Aaron Jones running the ball and at times catching the ball out of the field. Davante Adams is a star. I thought Minnesota was going to control this division. Again, it's week one, so I'm not going to lose my mind and get out of control with this. But Minnesota is at home here and really, really did not look too good in this game. So I was a little surprised that gave up a ton of run on the ground, a ton of yards through the air. Not Minnesota's finest game, that's for sure. The questions about Kirk Cousins will continue. But really on that defense as well, they're going to continue. They did not do well against Aaron Rodgers. And then we have one of the biggest storylines going on in the NFL starting the season was New England without Tom Brady. So there's Tom Brady in Tampa, Bill Belichick in New England. And let me just say, they're both human beings. And I guarantee you, in a private moment, they both want to outdo the other without each other. They'll never admit it. They won't say it unless somebody writes a book later on. And I highly doubt either one is going to write a book later on. But they're human beings. Pride is involved, and you want to show everybody that says Bill needed Tom or Tom needed Bill, they all want to prove, you know what, Tom, I can do it with another team, and Bill, I can do it with the players I'm going to get here and build. So they get the win over the Dolphins, and it's Cam Newton's first game with the New England Patriots. He has 15 completions, only four incompletions, no touchdowns, no interceptions, but he also had 15 runs. Much like Josh Allen, he led New England in rushing as well. So it's going to be an interesting development for me to see how he progresses in this offense. So one thing I don't see this offense doing is scoring a ton of points. And when you get down to it and the top team in the AFC is going to be Kansas City, you know they can score a ton of points. So that's putting the cart before the horse. So let's get Cam to get a few games under his belt. But there were some things I liked about what I saw. Certainly some shorter passes. We'll see if they start going down the field a little more. Time will tell on that. They have one of the best secondaries in all the game. They lost more than a few plays in the front seven, but I love the secondary in this one. But this is about Cam and his evolution in this offense. Ryan Fitzpatrick, what are you going to say about the Dolphins? Three interceptions, no touchdowns. All I think we have there is, when are we going to see Tua Tagovailoa? At what point this season? Because it's going to happen. Everybody knows it's going to happen. It's just going to be a matter of when. Then we go to my former team. I was with three teams. The one I was with the most, the Philadelphia Eagles, playing the Washington football team. And this one, it looked like the Eagles had this one absolutely under control, up 17-0, or 17-7, I should say, after halftime. They were up 17-0 at one point. And then absolutely falling apart in the second half. Certainly give some credit to Washington in this one, able to come back and do what they needed to do. What I saw to Washington's defense with the drafting of Chase Young, they already have a really good defensive line. It's kind of going the way of the San Francisco 49ers. Get quality and depth for your line as you rotate them in, and it showed to the tune of 8 sacks. And oh, by the way, when you get 8 sacks, that means you hit the quarterback a hell of a lot more than 8 times. So kudos to them on the defensive side. Dwayne Haskins, I was a big fan of coming out of Ohio State. Abbreviated season last year. Let's give him some time. Some good, some bad. I still like him, but obviously the consistency needs to grow, but he needs more time. Getting a whole year, if he can stay injury-free, under center and developing with this line and with these receivers, let's see where they can go. I'm still a fan of his. He does need a little bit of time. Philadelphia, a lot of expectations this year between them and Dallas coming out of the East, who was going to be the top team. Carson Wentz, a couple of bad interceptions. The O-line nicked up before the season, nicked up yet again. That is going to be an issue going forward for them on what they're going to do. So a nice win for the Washington football team in that game. And then we have the Carolina Panthers and the Las Vegas Raiders. Raiders hold on for a win in this game. These are two teams I'm not sure are going to do a whole lot this year. Obviously, the Raiders moving to Las Vegas, even though there'll be no fans there at all. Is Carr really the guy, Derek Carr, that Gruden wants, or is Gruden just waiting for a situation? I don't mean during the year, but I mean at some point where he'll replace Carr. Marcus Mariota on IR for that team, so you won't see him for a little while. And then with Carolina, Matt Rhule coming in as a college coach, them paying Christian McCaffrey, but saying goodbye to others, other veterans on that team, including Greg Olsen, who was playing for the Las Vegas Raiders. He's playing for Seattle. My bad, playing for Seattle. But losing a couple of veterans the way that they did. So I think it's going to take time for Carolina. They were trying to get back in this game, score 15 points in the fourth quarter, made it close, but the Raiders come out with a win. I think these are going to be two middling to below middling teams going through the year this year. And then a big surprise. We talk about the Colts and Jacksonville. So this is a tale of two stories here, right? Jacksonville, everybody talked about, are they tanking for Trevor Lawrence? Well, here's the thing about tanking, whether you believe it or not. Some people, we talk about it in the NBA all the time. Here's the deal. And if you think they are, because management made some moves to get rid of some players. Now, some people will say those players were malcontents and they didn't want to be there, so you just get rid of them. But they were some really good players as well. And they got rid of them. So the thought was, well, are they just putting themselves in position? A lot of people thought Miami was doing it last year to be in position for Tua. Now, Miami didn't get the first pick. They had the fifth, but they still got Tua in this. The one thing, if you buy into a team trying to do something like that, you have to understand something. Coaches, and especially players, but I think coaches and players are not in on that game. These players, especially in the NFL, where you don't know year to year, most players, if you're going to be in the league, you don't give a damn about what the future is going to be. You don't give a damn about who they're trying to draft next year or what they're trying to do the year after that. You give a damn about this year and this year alone, especially a guy like Gardner Minshew, who, if you think they're tanking for Trevor, that Gardner Minshew would be the guy that's going to be replaced. How about him? 3 touchdowns, no interceptions in this game. So understand the players, if you believe in tanking, are never going to be involved in that. Players and coaches are playing to win. They're playing for their survival. And they beat the Colts. A lot of people think the Colts was going to be the team this year coming out of the South because Houston trading away DeAndre Hopkins and people just not really buying into Tennessee all that much even after last year. Phillip Rivers, unfortunately, saw a couple of more interceptions. They already lose. We talked about the 1-2 punch in rushing between Mack and Taylor, and Mack already out for the year with an Achilles, so that hurts them big time right there. So a big disappointment for the Colts coming out in week 1 this season. I still think obviously a lot of hope there. That division I still think is open, but a tough one for them. Then you look at the Browns and the Ravens. This was the year we talked a lot about with the Browns. In they got more weapons for Baker Mayfield. They helped out the O-line, get Austin Hooper in, the tight end from Atlanta. The defense they're building. So they're setting things up, but now the quarterback has to come through. Baker Mayfield is still struggling. You can go back to any of the tape I had when he came into the league. I was not sold as him as the number one pick. I was not sold as him becoming a very good NFL quarterback. I love his commercials. I love his Progressive commercials. Don't get me wrong. But I think as the play, it has definitely been a struggle. And unfortunately, you have an interesting A-type personality in Odell Beckham Jr. there. If things don't go well, especially early, you wonder if there's going to be some butting of the heads there that the new young coach, Kevin Stefanski, is going to have to deal with. But a big disappointment. Now, I don't know if many people expected the Browns to win this game, to all of a sudden make the jump to beat Baltimore. But I thought a lot of people expected a better game. The Ravens, the one thing you can say about the NFL is when there's either a scheme or a person that is doing really good, what happens a lot of time is they get figured out over a little bit of time by watching film of them, the scheme or the player, they can get figured out. Lamar Jackson, man, I tell you what, he's a tough, you can figure out where he's going to be. The only problem is you have a tough time bringing him down. You know, that's the one thing when you're just that athletic in a sport where the athletes are incredible, when you're athletically that much better, that's a huge difference in the league. A lot of times, especially in the mid part of rosters to the bottom of rosters, to guys who were just cut last, the talent level is razor thin. But toward the top, it certainly separates. I.e., see a situation like, oh, I don't know, Reggie White as a D lineman, Jerome Brown as a D lineman, and me as a D lineman. Now, I did play 9 years in the league, and so, you know, from that standpoint, it was pretty good. But I'm in no way, shape, or form anywhere near their talent. So these talented guys at the top, they can really separate themselves. And Lamar Jackson does that with running the ball, also with his passing as well. You know they love the tight ends there big time. You know, I'm sure, you know, a guy like, you know, Mark Andrews is trying to jump into that upper echelon of tight ends with 5 catches. Another rookie in this game, J.K. Dobbins, just 7 rushes, but he had 2 touchdowns. So I'm sure you fantasy people love that as well. But Baltimore seems to be the Baltimore we're used to, though we'll see if a team like Pittsburgh, when we'll get to, can be a team that can do something with them. Then you had the Chargers and the Bengals. Now, the Chargers with the new quarterback this year, Tyrod Taylor. We'll say again, they got this win. It was against the Bengals. Everybody expected it, no doubt about that. But where will the Chargers be? If they're not in contention, how quickly do you go to Herbert, the rookie quarterback? Do you get him some time? We'll have to wait and see on that. As far as the Bengals, listen, there's no expectations here at all. But you have an incredible story in Joe Burrow. What he did at LSU last year in that one season was one of the greatest single seasons ever in college football history. So we thought, okay, what's he going to do here? He's got a team that's not very good, though you do get A.J. Green back. What can he do here? And what he did, gang, is he got his team in position at the end of the game to at least tie the game and maybe send it to overtime. That's what you're asking of your quarterback, and Joe was able to do it. Now, after the game, Joe gave himself a D for the game. And listen, he is a rookie in his first game with no offseason and no preseason. I don't care how good you are, it is going to take time. But I love his attitude. I love the way he dives into the playbook. He certainly has some mobility to make himself dangerous here. No touchdowns and an interception. He knows he has to improve upon that. But I really like what I saw out of him. It's just the fact. Listen, we know the Cincinnati Bengals and what they go through. It's a long, 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 almost never-ending road for them to try and get back to the top. But we'll see about if he's the quarterback that is going to be the guy that can finally at least start building there. And then you have one of the matchups we were looking for, one of the two best quarterbacks of all time, especially statistically, in Tom Brady and Drew Brees. And the Saints win this game 34-23 over Tampa Bay. And in all honesty, neither quarterback looked great. A couple of interceptions by Brady that were on him, as Bruce Arians talked about, were his fault. Certainly that out route was just a bad throw. You can't throw an out route behind the receiver. That's a pick 6. The other one was just the miscommunication with Mike Evans and Tom, and Bruce put that one on Tom. And Tom did struggle. And even Drew Brees, he passed for 160 yards. And now they lost Michael Thomas at least for a week with a high ankle sprain. So everybody's saying this could be fighting for the division title. I still think they were, and I will, and I still think the Saints are going to be the team that wins that division title. But a much anticipated game neither quarterback, I think, really stepped out and was shining too much there. Then we go out to the San Francisco, the Cardinals and 49ers, and what I think is going to be the most competitive division in all of football, the AFC West. I had Arizona third in this, behind either San Fran, Seattle, or Seattle, San Fran. I had the Rams last. And here goes Arizona beating San Francisco on the road. Kyler Murray getting it done again, both running the ball, runs it for 91 yards, passes for 230 yards. We see the movement he has, and how quickly does DeAndre Hopkins become part of this offense? 14 catches in this one, but between him and Larry Fitzgerald, Christian Kirk, I like those three receivers on the outside and what they can do. So I'm still not completely sold on the Cardinals defensively, and Kyler having to still create because he's getting some pressure on him. He was sacked three times, held onto the ball a lot, Lars sacked twice, held onto the ball last year a bit, and has a tendency to do that. But a nice win for them on the road against a team in San Francisco. The same questions are coming up. Jimmy Garoppolo, can he take you where you want to go? A couple touchdowns, no interceptions, but can he be the guy to take you where you want to go? You know you're going to rely on your defense. You know you're going to rely on your running game. As I said, this was a week one thing, so I'm not going to look too much into it. But I think the same question when San Francisco lost the Super Bowl is still there now, and that's going to be, can Jimmy Garoppolo take them the rest of the way? Then the last Sunday night game was the Rams against the Cowboys, and Dak Prescott and that whole drama that went on in the offseason. And I actually thought the Rams might take a step back this year and be last in what, again, is the toughest division, meaning their last place records could still be better than some of the wild, some of the other division winners up there could be right there and then that good. But they played a really good game. Goff, no touchdowns in this one. But I liked seeing that defensive rush again between Brockers on the D-line, certainly Aaron Donald and what he can do, and Floyd on that D-line. Watching Aaron Donald on some of the highlights and what he did, even to a guy like Zach Martin, who has been the best right guard in the league for a number of years, Aaron Donald has just come out of the gate so strong in this one. And that O-line, already nicked up, got nicked up even more. Tyron Smith and Zach are the two best ones and have been the best for a while. They've lost others on that line and now have some injuries as well. So I think Dallas really expected to go into that one and get the win. But as I said, Philly lost as well. Remember, in that NFC East, it's Washington right now that leads with the one win. Again, just one weekend. I know. We'll all take our time on that one. And then we had the two games on Monday night, Steelers and the Giants. Two teams in the Giants. We have to see with Joe Judge where they're going to go. We heard all the kind of the training camp stories of taking the names off of jerseys and doing some collegiate kind of tough guy things to try and instill some discipline in this team. And when the team is that bad, you know what? You can't do a whole lot. You can't question it a whole lot. People on the outside question it some, but you can't question it a whole lot because you're bad and you need to be good. So you've got to be willing to try a few things. So let's see how Joe Judge helps in the development of this team. And obviously when you say in the development of this team, you talk about development of the quarterback, Daniel Jones, and what he is able to do. A couple of more interceptions in this one. They're a work in progress and are going to be a work in progress. The Pittsburgh Steelers gang, Ben Roethlisberger back from that elbow surgery, no interceptions, three touchdowns. You know, you have Connor at running back, but you know, now in his second year, I believe Benny Snell, kid from Kentucky. I like the way he runs. I've always liked the way he runs the ball and what he is able to do. So I think it's a nice, can be, I guess, a nice 1-2 punch in the backfield. Now, he got most of the carries. He got 19 in this one. Now, Connor had been a little nicked up, so you wonder if Snell is going to take over the running game there. And, you know, the passing game, he's got it going on with Smith-Schuster, with Johnson. Watch Claypool, the rookie out of Notre Dame. I think he'll get more involved in this offense. And this defense is one of the toughest defenses in the league. I do think Pittsburgh, as long as Ben stays healthy, and that's always a big question, is going to be a team that will compete right with Baltimore for that North title. I do think those two teams will fight it out. And in the last game, you saw the Titans beat the Broncos on Monday night in a game where the Titans should have had a lot more points. I mean, the missed field goals in this one and blocked field goals, missed extra points, missed field goals. Finally, you get the last second field goal in this game with Gostkowski would have been one of the worst debuts of all time, missing, as I said, field goals, blocked, missed field goals, missed extra points. But he gets a chance with a few seconds to go to kick the game winner for the Titans to get the win. Still a question mark there on just what they can do. They're not going to be a high-scoring offense. They're just not. Derrick Henry is going to pound the ball, and I don't think people are going to buy into Tannehill passing for a ton of yards to put a lot of points on the board. And the Denver Broncos, we're going to see where they go, you know, with Drew Lock. You know, that's going to be the big thing for them is his development. They like him. John Elway has liked him, but he hasn't picked a good quarterback in a while there. But it seems they may find one in Drew Lock. Time will obviously tell on this. I like Fant, the tight end there, a whole lot. Melvin Gordon comes over from the Chargers, and he runs for over 5 yards a carry. So we'll see what Denver can do. And obviously in a division where, you know, we see Kansas City is going to rule the day there. So that was week one and what went on. And so week two is coming up. Some of the games I look at in week two are the Rams coming to Philadelphia in a 1 o'clock game. Usually West Coast to East Coast is bad for the West Coast. But Rams, as I talked about earlier, you know, had 40 rushes in this one. The defensive line played extremely well, and that O-line has been banged up and went through a couple of interceptions. So that's a matchup I look for in Philadelphia where, you know, Philadelphia, if they drop this game, they may be lucky they don't have fans in the stadium right now for what may go on. And then Washington going to Arizona, you know, with what Arizona did in San Fran. Now they're home against Washington, and Washington with that incredible pass rush that they had, 8 sacks last week, and what they were able to do. You know they're going to chase Kyler Murray, but you also know Kyler Murray can run and get out of trouble there. So I do like Arizona here, and I want to see Dwayne Haskins start to get more and more comfortable in this offense to see where Washington can go. And then I think another big matchup is going to be that Sunday night game, New England at Seattle. I love the direction Seattle is going right now. A huge test for New England and Cam Newton. What's the next step in this offense? Is it more passing down the field? Is it better passing down the field? Is it get some passing touchdowns in there? How much will he have to run in this game? Again, last week it was equal completions, two rushes in this game. So what's the next step there? And then Russell Wilson, the passing he did in that game, going up against arguably the best secondary in all the league with the New England Patriots. I really look forward to that matchup. So again, this was my first podcast. I just enjoyed talking, quite honestly. I've been used to doing it for 4 hours a day for 22 years. It was fun to just sit and talk again. Hopefully you enjoyed it. If you did, subscribe, rate, and review. Again, this is going to be under the Sorry in Advance umbrella, and you can find that wherever you find your podcast. So I appreciate your time, and I look forward to doing this once, maybe a couple of times a week. I'll get into hopefully a pretty good schedule and let you all know what's going on. But hey, we have sports back. Enjoy them.